You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Well, hey, let's dig in to what we have here inside of our series that we are talking on called The God I Never Knew. Talking about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and what is afforded to us in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about that and breaking that down in really incredible ways and formats, and I pray that you've been blessed by it. And next week, we're going to close it out. We really look forward to that with a talk that's also going to hold hands with a sending moment for our team that's headed to Africa with me. Next weekend, we get ready to head to Africa, a team and me and about 9 other people, and so it's going to be a powerful service experience. Be here for that. But as we talk today inside of this series, if I could put a title to it on this series of the Holy Spirit, it would be this: tongues. The title of today's talk is going to be tongues. Now, we're going to talk about the doctrine of tongues and speaking in tongues and all that stuff and what it means. You know, as I dig into this subject, I feel it's important to let you know that there are a lot of differing views on this topic as it relates to what it is we're talking about in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different views on this particular subject. And I don't say that in a bad way. I say it, the reason being, is because there really is not what theologians would call a lot of scriptural clarity on this subject. So with the scriptures that we do have on it, I truly believe that theologians and people with great hearts at the forefront of their intent are just doing their best to read, interpret, and form a belief system around what it is that we do see in scripture on this topic. But, you know, again, there are a lot of views on it, and we unfortunately don't have a lot of time to dig into all of those views held on this topic. So let me just go ahead and give you Journey Church's viewpoint on this topic that has stemmed from what I could really only call a very diligent study. Meaning I have spent 11 years, and I don't mean that in an exaggerated capacity, I've spent 11 years digging in to God's Word, digging into what Scripture has to say in dissecting this subject inside and out scripturally, along with every tool, or should I say with every tool available to me on what God's Word has to say about this and what we should believe about it and what we believe God wants us to believe about it, alongside a lot of prayer as I do it. Because number one, this is a very interesting subject. It's a very interesting one. And number two, I believe it's a very important subject. And so, which is why I put so much effort into it. And I'm absolutely confident in what it is that I'm sharing with you today. Amen. So let's dig into it, the subject of tongues. You know, tongues is something that we see in Scripture as part of the experience afforded to a believer with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me just explain that word tongues, because I feel like we look at this word and we think it's a weird word here. The word tongues, when it's used in reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, literally means languages. That's all it means. Now, we don't use the word tongues today in this context. We use the word languages, and that's how it translates. So again, when you see the word tongues in reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's simply talking about a language spoken. And we see believers who had the Holy Spirit in the Bible being given a unique language ability, wherein God gave believers the ability to speak in a different language. And that experience was twofold. Fold in that He gave believers the ability to do two things in this context: speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. We do see Scripture pointing to these two separate experiences being available to a believer, that he gave believers the ability to speak in a language and pray in a language that they had never learned before. So let's dig into the first one here. Let's look at speaking in tongues. We see this at first in play in the book of Acts, the second chapter, when God gave the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, right? The supernatural ability to speak the message of the gospel in a foreign language that they had not previously learned before. I mean, it's really considered one of the biggest and most astounding miracles in the Bible, in that 120 people on the day of Pentecost, while people from every nation are gathered, just start speaking out into their native languages. And they're blown away by that. They're like, how in the world are we hearing them talk in our language the wonderful works of God? It was such an amazing experience that the Bible says in Acts 2 that 3,000 people got saved right there in that moment because of that experience. So it's an awesome thing to see this in play in Acts chapter 2. We also see this happening in the Corinthian church, along with a few other places in the book of Acts as you read on. There's a lot of references to it. It's also important to note that speaking in tongues is specifically mentioned as one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that God gives believers who have the Holy Spirit, which we've been diving into on Wednesday nights. As a matter of fact, for those of you who haven't been able to be with us on Wednesday nights, let's just go through them right quick, because they're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says right at the offset of the chapter in verse 1, he says, now about the gifts, there's 9 of them, of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, he says, I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, God's heart for us here is to know about this stuff. I don't want you to be ignorant about it. I want you to be informed and educated on it. And he goes on to list what those gifts are, starting in verse 8. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. The message of wisdom is a gift of the Spirit. He says, to another, knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. How many keep talking about it's coming from the Spirit? I think Paul's trying to get across here that these are the gifts of the Spirit, that he's the one that gives us these incredible gifts. He goes on to say, to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, and here we go, speaking in different kinds of tongues, or as we know what the word means, languages, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. There are 9 gifts, and Paul says in verse 11, the very next verse, all of these gifts, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Again, included in these 9 incredible gifts is the gift of speaking in tongues, which again means languages. The Greek word used here in Corinthians chapter 12 is the word glossa. And the word glossa, literally translated, means a language or a dialect used by people in other nations. Meaning, that's all it means, a language or dialect used by people from other nations. Meaning that God can give believers the supernatural ability to speak a language from another nation, from another culture, without having learned that language. Which again is exactly what we saw happen in the second chapter of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. Now, I've had people tell me, like, why in the world would God do this? Why in the world would God do something like this? And my answer to that question really is one word: missions. Missions. Speaking in tongues, biblically, is a missions gift, a gift that takes the gospel from one nation to another, transcending language barriers. I mean, think about this. The gospel started where? In Israel, in one nation, inside of one language. But how many know Jesus didn't want it to stay there in that one nation, and he didn't want it to be confined with inside of just that one language? Jesus commanded the gospel to go beyond just the people and language of Israel. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, it's going to have to do more than just be here in Jerusalem. Don't get me wrong. He said, I want it in Jerusalem, but this is going to go to Judea, and this is going to go to Samaria. I want the gospel. I want the message of my love and the power of my resurrection to unfold itself in every nation, in every language in the world. The heart of the gospel was to go to the world, and God was supernaturally creating opportunity for that to happen. Because the disciples were probably thinking when Jesus said, I want this to go to the world, that's awesome, but how's that going to happen? We don't speak their languages. And God was like, I'm God. I got you. Don't worry about that. I can do things with your life that you never thought possible. I can make you speak a language that you've never learned before to tell of my goodness to the world around you. And that he did. So this is a really beautiful gift that, again, we see happen and made its entrance in Acts chapter 2. But you also see this gift, as I said, in operation in the Corinthian church. Specifically in the Corinthian church in a major way. I don't know if you know this or not, but the book of 1 Corinthians is where Paul is seen giving the only instruction seen in Scripture on how this gift should be used in a church service context. Because the church at Corinth, if you study, you would find that this right here is really considered, the church at Corinth, the first international church. It's the first international church. And this is kind of a map of really what their view of the whole world was back in that day. And you got Israel right down here, and Christianity started spreading. You see here's Rome over here, Thessalonica, where the letter to the Thessalonians were wrote. Philippians was written here at Philippi. Galatia, Galatians, Colossae, Ephesus, there were the Ephesians. So you got Corinth right here. Corinth is right here at the southern eastern bay of Greece. And this right here is really, if you know the city and you kind of know the culture, this right here, Corinth, was considered like the New York City of the day. I mean, this was an international city. A lot of trade happened in this area. I mean, everywhere. Everybody kind of met here. This was a major place for commerce and trade. There was a lot of international presence in Corinth. But this was also, again, a place where a church was started. At a level that if you study church history, this was probably what you would consider the first mega church in the New Testament in Corinth. I mean, there's history that records, man, there was at times 5,000 plus people that would gather at one time in their gatherings. Like, nowhere else was it like that at that level. Corinth was a mega church. It was a really beautiful move. So not only do you have a ton of people that are coming there from all nations, but you've got revival happening here. A church is swelling and growing at levels. But hear me, this is the church at Corinth. They're in Greece, which means they're a Greek church. And as a Greek church, they spoke Greek, right? And because of the revival that was happening in Corinth, they were experiencing many non-Greek people that were showing up in regular attendance at their services, at their gatherings, who did not speak Greek. But again, that's all the pastor spoke. That's all the leadership spoke in their home churches, in their gatherings. So how frustrated would that be if you were somebody from another nation who's probably seeing all these miracles on the streets of Corinth and following the people that seem to be the cause of them to where it is their gathering, and when you get there and you're drawn to this church, you go to this church, but when you get to this church, you can't understand a word that's being preached at this church because you don't speak the language that's being shared at this church. And so, as was the case in Acts chapter 2, the heart of God for those foreigners sitting in that church was for them to absolutely hear the gospel message in their language. So again, as was the case in Acts chapter 2, God supernaturally equipped people to speak the gospel in their glossa, in their tongue, in their language. They would hear it. They were blown away at what they were hearing and the fact that they were hearing it. They would then get saved. They would then get baptized, and many testimonies would spread from that moment. How many think that's awesome stuff right there? For that to be happening inside of a church. Think about that just for a second. Now, what was also just as cool is God would also supernaturally raise up somebody else with a gift called interpretation of tongues. Because many were probably like, hold on, I heard, what is interpretation of tongues? Because that's also one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Let me just act this out so we can all understand just what in the heck is happening here at the Church of Corinth. So let's just say right now that we are no longer Journey Church. We are now Journey Corinth, all right? JC now stands for Journey Corinth. Here we are. And so say you got Mike. Stand up, Mike. You know, say you got Mike, and Mike is from Germany, right? And Mike, we're here at Journey Corinth, Mike cannot speak a lick of Greek. All Mike speaks is Germany. German, right? Because you're from Germany, right? But he very much wants to be part of what it is that's happening here at Journey Corinth because of the healings and the miracles that Mike is seeing. I mean, heck, what brought him here was he saw somebody blind down the street get prayed for by somebody from the church, and they were healed. He couldn't believe his eyes at the fact that this guy's eyes can now see, and he's like, what in the world's happening? So he followed the person here to this church, and he's here. Man, there are signs and wonders. I want to be part of it. And so he's coming here. He's sitting down, but Mike cannot understand the message of hope that's coming out from the incredibly handsome, bald, pasty, white Greek preacher on the platform here. So, to get that message out, God raises up Pete. Stand up, Pete. God raises up Pete to somehow, inexplicably, and supernaturally start speaking German to Mike, right? Let's just say he did it. Amen. Mike is blown away at what it is that Pete is saying. Mike then receives the message that's being given to him. Mike then gets saved, expresses that he wants to be baptized, and there is major change happening in Mike's life. Give God praise for Pete and Mike over here. Amen. You guys can sit down. How many think that'd be so cool to see? But if we saw that going on, right? We'd be like, wow, that's cool to see. But what the heck did Pete just say to Mike? I mean, I heard a Guten Tag in there. I don't know. Like, what was being transpired there between you? So here's where interpretation of tongues comes into play. Again, another gift of the Spirit. The word interpretation in the Greek there in 1 Corinthians 12 is the word hermeneia, which means, and it literally translates, translation from one language to another. Translation from one language to another. And the purpose of this gift was to edify the rest of the church that was witness to that moment. Again, that just took place between Pete and Mike. Meaning, God would raise up, stand up, Tommy. God would raise up Tommy, let's say, and would give Tommy the supernatural ability to hear what was going on between Pete and Mike, and you would be able to supernaturally understand what was going on between Pete and Mike. And then you would then stand up to the church and declare that, hey, Pete said this to Mike, and then Pete said this to Mike, and then Pete said this to Mike, and then Mike responded back, and man, it was really awesome, and now Mike's received Jesus. He says he wants to get baptized in the next service, and he's so passionate for the experience given to him that he says in 2 weeks he's going back to Germany, and he wants to take this gospel message back to his home country, and we're going to see Germany now blasted, man, for the love of Jesus, and it's going to be an incredible thing. Come on, everybody, let's give God some praise for what's going to happen in Germany now because of what just happened in Mike. Amen. Thank you for your interpretation, Tommy. Amen. Right? That's what would take place so often. Journey Church, this was and is an incredible gift to take the gospel across language barriers so that it can reach the world that God so desires to be reached. So that's speaking in tongues, which is really more of a preaching in tongues contextual gift. And when people ask me, you know, why, Pastor, why don't we see this in play here at Journey Church? Why don't we see this happening in Journey Church? And my answer is really quite simple. Because we all speak the same language. Right? I mean, hear me. We all speak the same. Now, I pray there would come a day where somebody comes in here Guten Tagging it up. I pray. And if so, if you ever meet somebody, just send them to Pete. He'll take care of them. Amen. He got the gift. He's gonna get them saved. Amen. But I mean, I really do pray that happens. I really do pray. Number two, not just speaking in tongues is something that's afforded to believers, but praying in tongues is something that Paul says is afforded to believers. The question then becomes, right, because if tongues means languages, so that we are given the opportunity to pray in languages, the question then becomes, what language is God saying you can pray in? Paul says and answers this question at the beginning of chapter 13 and verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. He calls it tongues of angels. Languages of angels. He goes on to expound a little bit in the next chapter, right in the second verse. Paul says, anyone who speaks in, and the word speaks in, the translation here is prays in, this particular tongue does not speak to people. In other words, Paul is saying, what I'm saying right now isn't in the context of you speaking miraculously to somebody in German. I'm not talking about you speaking to somebody in German. This tongue I'm talking about is you speaking to God. You're not speaking to men with this one. You speak to God with this one. And he says, when you're doing it, check this one out. He says, no one can understand you. No one can understand the person that's doing this. He says, when they're doing it, they're simply uttering, speaking what he calls mysteries by the Spirit. And then he goes on 12 verses later in verse 14, and he says, when I pray in a tongue, he says, Paul's saying, I do this. When I pray in a tongue, my spirit is praying, and while I'm doing it, my mind is unfruitful. I don't even know what I'm saying. Hear me. The Bible is saying that part of the experience that comes with the Holy Spirit is the ability to pray in the languages of angels. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, because I'm not going to sit here and act like what I just said is just normal. Because some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Right? Just like, what did you just say? Listen, you know what I'm saying? Because all I'm reading to you is Scripture. I'm not making stuff up here. Listen, this is crazy stuff, in that the Bible is saying that you can pray, that I can pray in the language that angels speak. I remember being in a church service, like it was a kind of a Pentecostal church at the time, and I was hearing that for the first time. The pastor said that, you know, we can pray in the language of angels, and I'm like, what? And I'm looking around, and everybody's just like, well, that's what you know. Like it's like what he just said wasn't the craziest thing that you've ever heard in your life. Like, how can you all act like this is normal? I mean, I didn't grow up in church, so maybe it's just me, but I was like, the dude just what? Right? I was so confused. But hear me, this is what your Bible says, that praying in tongues is something that's afforded to you. Let me share with you, I believe, five things about praying in tongues that we can grab referencing Scripture. Number one, it's scriptural. Praying in tongues is scriptural. Somebody say, how do you know that? Well, let's just look at 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Paul says, for if I, what? Pray in a tongue. There. You really don't need any more evidence than that. For if I pray in a tongue. Number two, it's private. And the reason I say that is Paul says in verse 2, whoever does this does not speak to men, but to God. And Jesus was always quite clear on anything associated with prayer being done in private. Being done where it really matters. He said it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. He says, right there in the Sermon on the Mount, he goes, when you pray, don't stand out on the corners like the Pharisees do, letting everybody know how holy you are. You really want to get the mindset of prayer? When you pray, go in your house, go in your closet, shut the door, and cover up. Don't let anybody see you, because prayer is you and me, God is saying, and nobody else around time. The nature of prayer was always meant to be a private act unless it involves praying for the needs of somebody else. So it's scriptural, it's private. Number three, it's mysterious. It's mysterious. Paul goes on to say, in 1 Corinthians 14:2, indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. In other words, Scripture provides no avenue for you or I to ever know what it is we are saying when we are praying in tongues. Meaning, we must throw logic out the window when we do it. Leading me to this next point, number four. It is incredibly spiritual. And the reason I say that is think about the statement that we see here. Mysteries by the Spirit. When you're praying in a language, that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1, when you're praying in a language that angels speak, think about this just for a second, because I'm trying to illustrate this point. When you're praying in a language that angels speak, when you're saying something that turns the heads of angels because they understand what you're saying, something unimaginable must be transpiring in the spiritual realm when you're praying in tongues. And I can only imagine what that is, and I'm not about to attempt to define what that is. Paul says it's mysteries. There ain't no chance Jesse's going to be able to crack the mystery. I can only imagine what that is. We're talking something so categorically spiritual that your flesh and your mind can't even play part in it. And lastly, number five. Praying in tongues is an experience that's available to all believers. And the reason I say that is, look at the beginning of verse 2 here. For anyone who. There's anyone. There is no reason we can see this being selective. There is no reason we can see this being a selective experience from what we can see through the lens of Scripture. Praying in tongues, scripturally, is a beautiful, private, personal experience afforded to a believer's prayer life to accomplish more than what you can accomplish on your own, with your own reason, in your own language. It's almost like he's taking over your prayer life to accomplish more in you than what you can on your own. Now, the question then becomes, if it's scriptural, if it's private, think about this for a second. The question then becomes, if it's spiritual, if it's available, if it's mysterious, how then do I get it? How do I do it? How do I have the opportunity to pray in tongues? You ready for that answer? Ready? Here it is. There is no specific instruction. There isn't. On how that experience comes. Nowhere in Scripture does it provide these steps on receiving it. Leaving us to assume that the primary route for this to enter your life is through your invitation for the Holy Spirit to enter your life and do what he wants to do in your life. Invite him in for this experience to happen to you. This is why, Journey Church, I want to encourage you in your prayer times to seek the Holy Spirit in what he has for you. Just have a conversation with him. And tell him, Holy Spirit, I've read this, and I desire you to come into my life and baptize me like you baptized those in the New Testament. I desire that. So there really is no step 1, 2, 3 avenue on how to get there. Just invite him. Now, there are other viewpoints on how this can enter the life of a believer, seen through experiences that we do see in the book of Acts where the apostles laid hands on believers, and it says, when they did, they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So people have asked me before, well then, Why can't we do that? Well, we absolutely can do that. And we absolutely will do that. And we invite you to have that experience with each other and pray for each other. And I'll pray for you. But hear me. If you're coming to me for prayer so that you can receive gifts, I want it to be made very clear that I'm not the giver of those gifts. All I'm going to, so don't come to me thinking that I'm going to give you gifts. All I'm going to do is set my agreement next to you and my faith next to you for the Holy Spirit to come in and do in your life what only He can do in your life. And this is where I detour away. And this is where I take an off-ramp away from what it is that I've personally experienced in Pentecostal churches. Where I was saved in a Pentecostal church. So I don't want this message to be taken as a slam to Pentecostal churches. I love Pentecostal churches, and I've got many. I've got more brothers and sisters that are Pentecostal in the ministry than I do that are not. Like I love many, many of my brothers and sisters that lead those churches. But here's where I detour away. Because my personal experience is very similar to many people's experiences inside of a Pentecostal church. Where I got saved in September of 1993. And 2 months later, but just over 25 years ago, I was told, hey, there's more. Like, not that you need more to be saved, just there's more to you now that you are saved. Just invite the Holy Spirit in, and there's something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I was like, okay, well, how do I do that? And that's when a prayer meeting like no other ensued. And I probably had 15, 20 people around me in this youth room, and they're praying. They're like, come on, invite them in. Invite them in. I'm like, I invite you in. I invite you in. You know, I hadn't done church, for, you know. So they're like, invite them in. We probably prayed for a good 2-3 hours. And it was getting to the point where I'm just like, all right, are we done yet, you know? Like, I'm asking, and they're like, come on, you need to do more. They say, you need to keep holding on, you know. And I was like, all right, I'm holding on. And other people are like, let go. And I'm holding on, letting go. I don't know what the heck's going on in my, you know, they're like, you know, everybody's just trying to. And I said, well, how do I know I've got it? And they said, you'll know you've got it when you speak in tongues. I was like, well, what if I don't speak in tongues? And then somebody told me, and they all affirmed, they said that if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. That was a discouraging night for me. And again, I'm not slamming people, but I just want to tell you from my experience, that was a discouraging night for me. And as I walked away from that experience, and I started digging into God's Word, and the more that I have been able to grow in the ability to read and interpret and understand God's Word, can I just tell you, that is absolutely not true. That is absolutely false. For somebody to tell you that if you don't speak in tongues, that you do not have the Holy Spirit, is absolutely false. Hear me, I am not at all slamming this gift, which is a beautiful, beautiful gift, because praying in tongues and speaking in tongues is certainly, somebody say certainly, an experience that is afforded to believers who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But hear me, praying in tongues happens when and how He decides to give you that experience. Come on. What I'm trying to say is we've got to stop in the church allowing man to manipulate what God wants and desires to initiate. Let God impart these things into your life by you surrendering to Him piece by piece and layer by layer, becoming more vulnerable to give Him more of you so that you can have what it is that He wants to give you. If we want to talk evidence, because there's doctrines out there that say that the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And that's just not biblical. If you want to talk evidence, let's talk evidence. Jesus was quite clear on the evidence to the baptism of the Holy Spirit being one thing, and He said it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, here's the evidence, you will receive power. That's the evidence to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's this word right here. You will receive power, he says. And that power will be so powerful inside of you, it will propel you to be my witnesses, not only here in Jerusalem, in front of the religious system that will attempt to intimidate you, but you'll also be empowered and endued with power and fueled with power. It'll propel you to other nations. It will equip you to make this gospel known to the world. It will give you power. Not only to do that, it'll give you power to overcome life's obstacles. It will give you power to overcome life's storms. It will give you power to overcome life's enemy that stands in your way. Power is why he is coming. Power for your life. So much so that Jesus said, I must go so that he can come and give you the power you need to live out the words that I've said you need to live out. Power. My God, somebody say power. And tucked inside that power are gifts, are experiences. But they enter your life when and as the Holy Spirit wants them to. This is not something that you can manufacture on your own with your own abilities. Paul says, and he was quite clear in verse 11, all these gifts are the work of not you, not me. They're the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them. Isn't that what it says? To each one. Just as he determines, other translations say, and when he determines. So I said that to say, be leery of people who tell you that they have the gift of healing. Be leery of people that tell you, I have the gift of prophecy. Be leery of people that tell you, I have the gift of miracles. Because let me tell you this, you want to look at it scripturally? I don't have any gift. You know who I have, though? I have the giver of all those gifts. I'll tell you, look, I don't have the gift of healing, but I do have the healer in my life. And if you want to, he says, I can put my faith next to you, and as he so wills and determines, he can minister to you healing. But again, that's up to him. I am just here to believe for him in all things. See, we can get so caught up in the demand for a gift that we lose sight as to what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's not about the demand for a gift. It's about the desire for a person to be known in my life as the helper that Jesus says that he is for me, as the comforter Jesus says that he is for me, as the endurer of power that Jesus says that he is for me. So I don't seek gifts. I rather seek the giver of the gifts. How many know what I'm talking about? Somebody say a good amen in this place. Amen. Man, I pray this series is serving to help you create a desire to begin seeking the Holy Spirit for your life. Because look at what he has for you. Here, let's dig into more. Look at what he has for you. Power, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, which means being able to distinguish whether or not something is of God that's entering your life. Whew. I may need that, because I've had people that fit that category. I'll move on. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and praying in the language of angels. All this is available to you with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can I just ask you this? Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? And I want that. So let's work to receive this by inviting him into our lives. So let me just say this before we go. When you pray for this, when you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't take a critical mind with you into your prayer closet. Because this stuff is weird. Right? To our corrupted minds. I mean, it's weird. I mean, think about how weird that would be just to tell somebody in the break room at work tomorrow that you can pray in the language that angels talk in. Go on, do it tomorrow at break. Go on. And just watch them get up from your table and go finish their sandwich at another table. Just watch, right? Logic cannot lead the charge to the supernatural expressive work of the Holy Spirit being manifested in your life. Supernatural means just that, not natural. This stuff here is going to turn some heads, but come on, somebody. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs some head-turning stuff happening in the world today again. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be full of people allowing God to do the miracles that we see happening in His world, happening in our world today. We need it today. And I believe a big part to why we don't see that stuff that we see in the New Testament happening in our world today is because we don't live our lives like they did in the New Testament. We're not hungry for God like they were in the New Testament. We don't sacrifice like they did in the New Testament. We don't obey like they did in the New Testament. We don't pray like they do in the New Testament. We don't pray like they do. And if we would start taking on a hunger that they had, then we're going to see the results that they experienced. And if that's you in this room today and you just want to take a moment, I just encourage you just right now just to close your eyes where you're at. Come on, would you do that? Would you just, right there where you're at, just close your eyes. And I want to encourage you. Just as an act of symbolism, it's not like what I'm about to ask you to do is like anything crazy or going to do anything, but just put your hands out on your lap, like your hands up, you know what I'm saying, just your palms up on your lap. And the reason I'm asking you to do is just posture yourself into a posture of receiving. That's what this means, like you desire to receive something. Just right where you're at, just with your eyes closed, just have a conversation with Him. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I invite you to baptize me. I've learned what that word means. It means just to immerse me in you and do whatever you want to do in my life. Come and be my helper. Come and be my comforter. Come and be my endurer of power to help me live this faith walk out step by step. I don't want to take another step on my own strength. I want to take it on the strength that you give me.
Moving here in front of me. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. Life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.